Chairman Franek, Commissioner Sager,
here.
Commissioner Graham White, Commissioner Kaczynski,
here.
Commissioner Forehand, Commissioner Murr, and Commissioner Reno Odgen.
And I believe we have a quorum. Okay. First item of business, approval of minutes. Does anyone have any comments with respect to draft minutes for our last meeting on July 20th? And I have two comments. And they are both on page 3. In the third and fourth paragraphs from the top, rather than the word surrounding in each instance, I like the word regarding.
On page 3 or 4?
So I'm sorry, it is page 2 of 5. It's got 3 on the bottom, probably of our packet. So it's the third and fourth paragraphs. Please change surrounding to regarding. Got it.
There it is.
Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve as revised?
I move we accept the minutes of the last meeting as revised.
Luke?
Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White. Commissioner Kaczynski.
Aye.
Moving on. Application for a COA with respect to siding for 563 Park. You'd like to, we have someone with respect to the applicant in the audience. If you could identify yourself, please, sir, into the microphone and offer your thoughts.
Dylan Kaiser here, owner of 563 Park.
I think, sir, you need to hit the button.
Oh. Probably need to push something.
Is it better now?
Perfect.
I'll start over.
Great.
Appreciate it. Dylan Kaiser here, owner of 563 Park. Live there with my wife, Mary, and 3 kids, just a block away. First of all, thank you all for being here tonight to hear about the siding application that we have put forward, and thank you for the consideration in the last meeting. We would like to re-side the beautiful home just due to general condition of the siding. In the packet, you'll see some of the pictures of the soffit and fascia where it has deteriorated over the years. You'll see that there was a number of inhabitants. We jokingly call the house the birdhouse. We were able to remediate the birds and close up the soffit and fascia. If you walk by, you'll see that. You'll see that that's been updated, but we stopped there and then had the siding permit. We also did the roof along with the soffit and fascia. It was kind of a top-down approach, starting with the roof. And then when you do the roof, which we had a permit for, you open some spots on the soffit and fascia, and that's where the full extent of the damage from the sparrows was seen. We closed that back up and then put in the further permit for the siding. The material that we're using is LP smart siding. It's a little bit of a larger width than the current wood siding there, but very comparable from a material standpoint in the market to match the current aesthetic of the house. The color is also very similar. If you drive or walk by the house, you'll see it's more of a flat gray. The color that we're using, very similar, maybe a little bit of tint of a green might come through. Not just a complete flat gray, but very similar. One of the questions from Chairperson Krasinski was on the trim in the last meeting. The trim does not have a wood grain, which the siding will have. So as we get into the process, we're going to attempt to keep the trim. If it's not feasible in that process, we would use a trim that would match the current siding. It would have a little bit of a thinner width, but would have a similar wood texture to the siding, grain texture.
Great. Thank you.
Of course.
Does anyone have any questions or comments?
No. I had a siding years ago with my house, 743, so with no longer available material, I was going to have to see the company wanting to cut every board.
Yep. Completely agree from the different professionals who came in to look at the job. That's very similar to what they said.
Great. Scott, thoughts, comments? Please.
They were very loud. I didn't realize the extent of the noise that the sparrows make. I was telling the committee in the last meeting that it happened to one of our neighbors to the south of us who had a similar issue. And the gentleman came home from a work trip and thought that he had brought home like some type of bed bugs from a hotel and brought in an exterminator right away. And the exterminator said, these are bird mites from the birds who have been making a home in your house. So after hearing that, we were very keen to remediate as quickly as possible. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm really happy that you're putting on a comparable looking siding to keep with the integrity of the original look. And I don't know much about LP siding. I've heard of it, and I've heard of Hardy board, and
very similar to Hardy board, Jen. Yep.
Yeah. I know there was a house on Franklin, the big old Queen Anne at 558 Franklin. They put up Hardy board. They tore down a couple layers of stucco to do that, which got back to the original integrity too. So I'm glad that you're doing this. It's a lovely house, lovely looking home.
Thank you for your attention to detail and your efforts to see if you can keep the trim. It's a beautiful home, and it's a great credit to the community, what you're doing. I can attest to the noise that birds, some small birds can make, in that a couple of summers ago, we had a fledgling robin fall into our window well, and it's fairly deep, and the sides and bottom are cement, and it was unable to get out and couldn't fly out. And I presume the mother, one of the parents, was in a nearby tree, very silently watching what's going on. And the bird, I was successful in lifting it out using a pointed shovel, but the bird was, shall we say, territorial and wasn't fully convinced of my good intentions until I was able to get him up, and he or she just kind of walked over to the parent. They both, you know, kind of moved off successfully. So they can make their presence known.
Yes. Yes.
If there are no other comments, is there a motion to grant a COA for the siding at 563 Park?
I move we accept the certificate of appropriateness for 563 Park siding.
Luke.
Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham-White. Commissioner Kaczynski.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Yep. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate your good work.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Excuse me. Review the application for completeness with respect to a COA for 604 Bonnie Bray. Commission members may recall at the last meeting that there were some questions as to a clearer delineation of what changes were being made along the south facade of the property in question so that we could determine whether or not at a subsequent meeting to this one, we would vote in favor of granting a certificate of appropriateness. We now have some revisions. Does anyone have any thoughts with respect to what's there and whether they believe there's any further information that they would like to see with respect to the application for a certificate of appropriateness? If so, what?
I do have some thoughts. But I don't think it should be a showstopper because we've gone through this once and now we have additional information. And so it's the question of, on the plat, it's a two-story existing. And then on the site plan, it's a two-and-a-half-story existing. But if you go through the elevations, that two-story or two-and-a-half-story, actually, if you go back to the plat and you look at the angle lines,
mm-hmm.
where there's, that's not all two-story. That is where, if you go along the quick avenue of the south facade, you've got the bay window and then it indents and it goes over and then it juts out. The jut out, that's the first addition. That's one story. So the real two-story, from what I can tell, is just the bay window and then the indent, where it says, what is that? So you've got 6.54 feet and you got 13.73 feet. That is two-story. Then we go to the 21.26 feet, and that's a single story. And I think the elevations and the pictures prove that out. And if we look at the south elevation, it proves that out. You've got existing, new, and new.
Okay.
I don't really care.
So let me go back for a second, Jan. What we're looking at now is just to determine whether we have enough information to say that we have a completed application. We're not really talking about the merits of what they're doing.
Yeah.
So do you believe you have enough information based upon what's been included?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm very detailed, but yeah. I mean, I think if we look at the south elevation, mm-hmm. it's clear what they want to do.
Right. Yeah, I think we're all detailed.
Thank you.
I think what they have added in terms of delineation of what's new, what is proposed as new construction and marking what is existing satisfies the concerns that I had as to what I thought was difficult to ascertain from what we'd initially been presented with before our last meeting. Carla, any thoughts? Okay. It looks complete in terms of the information. Yeah, because really what we're looking for just now is to determine whether or not we can tell what they propose to do. Scott? Okay. So then is there a motion to accept the application for COA for the changes, proposed changes to 604 Bonnie Bray as to completeness only and not as to as not on the merits.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
Luke?
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White? Commissioner Kaczynski?
Aye.
Okay. We have three applications for historic preservation awards. Let's take them in order. A new construction garage at 210 Gale. The owner has indicated that it is a new garage designed to architecturally match the 1895 Victorian home. And in fact, they obtained a variance to use the roof pitch for the original home. I think this falls in line personally with a what we've denominated as a renovation award, which deals with an addition to a structure. In other words, completely new construction, not attached. So, please, absolutely.
An award based on or whatever.
That I don't know.
Yeah, I know Laura makes up.
It very well may have been. But I don't know.
I cannot. The information that I would use to confirm that right now, I don't have access to. So I can't give an answer.
Okay.
I think it's beautiful. I think what they did is incredible. I wouldn't call it a garage because it's more a coach house to me. It's just... It's outstanding.
It's quite nice.
Yeah, quite nice. And the way they match the window and the gable, both gables in the garage and to the house, and all of their attention to detail, and it's just gorgeous. But yes, I agree. Renovation, I think, is the one that fits here. Because of the new construction.
No.
Did you say this is more renovation to what you already awarded I to get renovation plus? But some people said a big renovation and the garage.
Good for them. Good for them.
What about streetscape compatibility?
I was just about to.
Which is recognition of outstanding in building a new structure.
Yeah.
With its surrounding historic streetscape. That's the... Don't necessarily know the definition of streetscape.
Although it really is not on the street. Yeah.
Actually, I think I agree with Jan. That I think streetscape, because it's a new structure that's compatible, that the addition to the structure, to a structure, I think is something perhaps we may want to give to another one of the applicants tonight. But I would agree. Mm-hmm. I would agree. I would modify my previous comments.
So streetscape because this is a new structure.
Yeah, because it's a new structure. Because it's in an architectural style or scale. It's compatible.
Oh, gosh.
With the surrounding.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, Commissioner Forehand was the one that went knocking on the door, as you guys would say, and had them submit their application.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Great.
Scott, any thoughts? Carla, anything further? So we think streetscape compatibility.
Yeah.
Okay.
So moved. I move that we award the streetscape compatibility or designated streetscape compatibility award to the 210 Gale garage construction.
I second that.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White? Aye. Commissioner Krasinski?
Aye.
Okay. Next, 727 Keystone. It is a virtually seamless addition to a grand 1915 Spencer and Powers home. It's a magnificent structure. And I must say, in looking at the photographs, it took me some time to orientate to determine where the addition was.
I agree. I ripped it all apart.
With respect to, you know, as opposed to the original construction. It's quite impressive. It really is.
Yeah. So, right. So I had to do this. I took them apart and then I laid them side by side. But it is seamless. And even though it's the back of the house, we don't see it from the street. It's important. I mean, this is a Spencer and Powers house, and so they really took great care to keep the maintain that footprint, the integrity. Yeah, it's. Yeah.
And
you don't see it from the street.
And I think the fact that it's just to the rear is also a credit because it does nothing to alter the facade visibility. It really
They could have put up anything and we see that all over town.
Sure.
And it's usually because of financial consideration and time constraints and even though we don't speak to the interior. That's not our purview. I think it gave us a good sense of them maintaining windows. So we can assume that the inside windows were kept and that translates to the outside. I think they did everything right on this. Yeah.
McMahon Award. McMahon Award.
Wow, well.
The original design and condition, repairing or replacing the original architect. It's. Or. Or is it a renovation award? And. The McMahon Award goes to the porch restoration on the third property.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Which is original, as we see from the photographs.
Should we wait?
Excuse me?
Should we wait and look at the Keystone other Keystone House, or
sure, and then we can do that,
balance it out.
Yeah, absolutely. No, nothing wrong with that. So yeah, I think the interior photographs are interesting, although as Jan's pointed out, our focus, our jurisdiction, if you will, is only on the with respect to the exterior. Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. Absolutely. It's very helpful. Okay. Jan has then pointed us to 823 Keystone.
Yeah. And this was my,
which
I knocked on his door.
Which is, as we can see, as near as possible, a restoration of the original porch. And taking a house that had some unfortunate deletions over time restored.
Jeez.
I mean, it really is a significant difference. So,
and I think they did a good job of explaining what they did. And the time constraints, they were coming up on COVID, and you know, they had variances that they would have had to apply for and go through hearing process. And I think they did a great job on this house.
I think they did as well.
It really, you know, it was a grand dame on the block in its day. You know, there was nothing else there with that original picture, the wrought iron fence that, who knows, this probably would have gone all the way to Chicago Avenue. But I think what the Stroms have done is really, I think they've done a lovely job. Plus the doors and the you know, the footings, all the extra stuff, tearing down the shrubbery and saving the siding. And the porch is really pretty.
So, Carla, thoughts? Further thoughts? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scott? Well, I think we have three homes, all of which we are proud to present awards to. The question is, what do we do with respect to the last two in order, 727 Keystone? Where we have a magnificent addition. Is that something where we say it's a renovation award, which is respect to historically sensitive renovation or addition to a structure? And as to 823 Keystone, because one of the signature aspects is the restoration of the porch. The McMahon Award speaks in terms of original design and condition by repairing and replacing the original architectural detail and materials. That's in that wheelhouse. Thoughts? Absolutely. No question. Yeah. No question. It's really nice to see that what we are trying to foster in this community was existing and we've nurtured it a little bit and it has taken root as some people have moved into the community. And it clearly indicates that people do in fact respect and honor the built environment that's been pre-existing for so many years. Jan, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. The architectural details. Well, for the 727 Keystone,
mm-hmm.
is it really a renovation award? Or addition.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, recognition, historically sensitive, or addition.
Yeah.
That seems to fit 727 Keystone very well.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Personally.
And then what the Stroms did, 8, that's at 823 Keystone. That, you know, that either could be architectural details or the Laurel McMahon Restoration Award. I mean, it's not to its original design, but I doubt that they could have gotten there with today's building codes standards. They would have had put on a third floor, the cupolas. You would never get that. But I think what they've done is very special. And that's what the Laurel McMahon Award was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's kind of, my recollection is we've got awards for specific items. And the McMahon Award was meant to be something that's sort of the above and beyond. Think of the home that was restored by Laurel and her husband,
yeah.
which is just off the charts.
Yeah,
and I think we have done that at least once before to an Italianate south of the railroad tracks. We gave absolutely. Yeah. I mean, with Milwaukee cream brick and the whole thing is just phenomenal. The Fields Award is kind of in a similar vein, but it's a catch-all for anything that doesn't fit into any of the other award categories. But it, too, is meant to recognize something that's above and beyond.
Right? I don't think this, I mean, in my opinion, I think 823 can fit into what we have other than Jeanette Fields.
Right. I would agree. I think it fits into one of the other awards. The question is, which one? Not at all. The Renovation Award and the Architectural Detail Awards are kind of on the same plane, so to speak. They deal with different things. The Renovation Award is an exterior renovation or addition, and the details are restoring a specific element, a porch, bracket trim, stained pattern, leaded glass, whatever you wish to call it, on a home where you're looking at something specific. But
I it's hard to tell in the original picture what those porch pillars are. But what they put in would certainly be, we wouldn't be surprised to see that in an original architecture, would we? And then it's hard to see, too, what the porch I can't think of the word, but the, you know, the spindles around the porch.
The balusters?
Yeah, the balusters.
Yeah. The,
but I think what they've done is pretty, probably very close to replicating.
It's hard to tell from the original photographs what the porch posts were. I know that we replaced the porch posts on our home 20 years ago. And in doing that, we really had two options at the time. One was some form of composite material in which would have been cast. And the other was Brazilian cedar, which was constructed. We chose the Brazilian cedar, which was hard to do in terms of, it has, it's so resinous that getting paint or stain to stick to it is quite the task.
Wow.
But it's also quite impervious to rot, et cetera, et cetera. But it, again, we happen to have the original posts, we believe, from 1915 that we have to replace because of rot. By constructing something new, the folks at 823 did not have that option. They're just going off of, you know, what's an inch and a half by 2 inch detail in 120 plus year old photograph. And I think they did a magnificent job personally.
They did.
So and I suppose just as we are not constrained to give awards each year if we feel that no applicant meets the criteria, so too, I suppose there's nothing that would suggest that we can't give multiples of the same award if, in fact, we felt that the applications each merited some specific level. So,
good.
I offer that for the commissioner's consideration and comment as to how they'd like to do it, because I'm fine any way. I think we should recognize it. I think we're clearly going to recognize it from what I hear as a consensus. The query is what?
Well, so both seem to go toward the renovation award. I think the 727 for sure would be the renovation award for the statement addition to a structure.
Yeah.
The 823 Keystone, I don't know that it is quite that, you know. The fields or the laurel.
Yeah, I think it's either the laurel or the details. I think it depends upon how, you know, how exemplary you believe the impact of the details is. We certainly have given out several. There are years where we have had a number of worthy applicants, like this year, and there are years when we haven't been that fortunate. So
yeah, we'll go big.
So what does that mean?
Carla says generous.
Stand at the top of the stairs and one gets one.
See, I don't think you have to do that. I think you both give them the same award if you feel that they each merit that same level. Okay.
And they didn't work together too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dave?
Yes.
What's your opinion?
I'm looking at them just as we have them on the sheet. The McMahon Award is returning the exterior or structural to its original design and condition by repairing or replacing original architectural detail and materials. And I think that would fit with 823.
Yeah.
Because they have, in fact, gone out of their way to replicate the porch given the very modest information. They've really gone the extra mile in trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That would be my thought.
I agree.
Streetscape compatibility. New structure or addition in architectural style and scale, which we've talked about with respect to 210 Gale, because it's a new structure. Adaptive reuse does not fall in because we're not changing. Architectural detail awards. Restoring an exterior element to the structure, including porch brackets, architectural trim. That's kind of like an impressive award-winning achievement, but not to the extent of the McMahon Award. That's how I'm reading it, I think. The Renovation Award is historically sensitive renovation or addition that enables continued or expanding use. And the Fields Award is something that doesn't fall into the other categories. I would think in terms of the streetscape compatibility, to me, that speaks to the way something looks as you look at the property from the street. Is it in keeping and scale? The renovation award is if someone has, frankly, an addition of note with a continued or expanding use. I'm thinking that 727 Keystone falls in line with the renovation award as I read what the specifics are. And honestly, I'm just trying to parse out the individual words to see which one. I think all three of these projects are all highly commendable because of what they have done, providing us the information and working on them very diligently. We have seen the construction at 727 Keystone and 823 Keystone over an extended period of time and really can just visually speak to the time and care that was taken with respect to each. There's no question about that. As well as in one instance in 823, where you are adding a defining facade element that had been removed somewhere in the past, but restoring it to look as best as one can under current permit conditions to the level of approximately circa 1900, and that 727 Keystone is literally a seamless addition. So personally, I would suggest the McMahon Award to 823 and the renovation award to 727, but obviously that's only my thought. And
I agree. I've got it written down just like that.
Okay. So do we wish to make first a proposal to grant the renovation award to 727 Keystone?
I move we grant the renovation award to the owners of 727 Keystone.
Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White.
Aye.
Commissioner Krasinski.
Aye.
And Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Okay. 823 Keystone. I'm hearing the consensus is to grant the Laurel McMahon Restoration Award to 823 Keystone to honor their restoring an earlier signature element of the streetscape facade.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White. Aye. Commissioner Krasinski.
Aye.
As to anyone listening to this at a later date, I think this is probably the longest that we have ever talked in my memory about specific awards. And I think that speaks to the quality of the work in each instance.
I think this is the most nominations we've ever had, or the most that were
granted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's true. I think it's certainly up there. I mean, these are all, and there are a couple of structures that personally are still under construction / reconstruction / renovation that I'm keeping my eye on for next year. So discussion of contributing or noteworthy properties to consider for significant property status. I spoke with Commissioner Reno Ogden several days ago, and he has agreed to do the photographic work necessary for the mini update for the architectural survey. I think I previously indicated that I had also spoken with an architect, in this case, Doug Gilbert, who is from Oak Park, who had participated in the original survey, asked whether he would be willing to do an update. He would greatly appreciate the ability to do that, and he has provided a proposal, which I've forwarded on to village staff. I've confirmed with him yesterday, in keeping with Commissioner Raina Ogden's volunteering to do a photographic work, that Doug will send a modest revision to his proposal, deleting the photographic work from his quote. But I think I can report, I think we're well on our way to getting this underway, hopefully this fall.
So then he'll come up with a good proposal. And
he's got a pretty thorough proposal in front of us for between 17 and, I told him, 20, just in case we come up with some others. I think the official number we came up with was 17.
I think so.
And and he also gave me a per house number as well, both of which I think are very reasonable. And he's going to revise the aggregate to take off what would have been his time spent in doing the photographic work and getting that set for inclusion in the survey. We're just kind of waiting. He has, subsequent to our survey, he's done a number of other surveys, both in conjunction and at the request of the Lakota Group, the other architects who worked on the original survey. And he has done it with them and at their request. And given the small number, I thought that just reaching out to an individual would probably be most appropriate in terms of time and cost.
So then will he present us? Then will he come to us with his presentation?
What will happen is there will be, I will get a revised proposal I'll provide to village staff. And I guess I can, once it's been provided to village staff, I leave to the village how they wish to share that with the other commission members. I think, honestly, I think you'll be pleased when you say it. I think you really will be. But it's something that I'm kind of waiting for. Waiting to get the final version, as well as any thoughts and comments. And I don't know if there's going to be any requested revisions from the village.
I know our village administrator Walsh just wanted to run it by the board and the village president before we went any further with this. That was part of our, once he received the updated proposal. So, can't imagine there would be any glaring changes knowing you guys know Matt. So, but I will keep you guys updated.
Yeah, I think it's entirely appropriate that it's something that, because it involves expenditure of funds, albeit not a large number.
Here I go.
By the village, I think it's appropriate it goes to the village president, the village board. You okay, Jan?
I get it. Get in these coughing fits, but I've got a lozenge.
Okay, good. So that's the update that I can provide.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Additional ways to protect significant properties. Any thoughts? This is kind of our catch-all in terms of what we do. Following is promotion of river forest architecture and history, and that tends to be the additional work done by others outside the commission, Jan, as to the good work that she and others do. with respect to the village.
I have some update on the Martin H. Braun development. And as a little back story or backup, in the survey on page 51, there's this is another discussion of Martin Braun, and it's in the historic context. And it talks about a unified mid-century modern ranch homes tucked away on Overton River Oaks. It was part of the Waller Estate. It says Martin H. Braun bought most of the Waller, a lot of the Waller Estate went to the Cook County Forest Preserve. And then Martin H. Braun bought the rest, the remaining land, erected 13 custom-built ranch homes. And then and he and his wife lived in one of the houses. Another three houses were later added by other architects, making the total with the existing Winslow house 17. So Kurt Etchingham from the Historical Society and I did some research. We went down to the recorder of deeds at the county courthouse and got the old big pages. Also through the result of the FOIA request put into Village Hall, we got a lot of permits, plats of survey, and we were able then to confirm specifics. So we know, you can hand these around. So we know that there were originally 19 lots. And is that enough?
Yes.
Okay. And it was really confusing because there were only, there were not 19 houses built. And so what I did with the plats of survey, and this is not to scale, I drew out the area, the triangle. And this is the River Oaks Auvergne Lake Street triangle. That blue line actually is the west border of our National Register Historic District. Oddly, interestingly, two of the Braun houses are within the historic district. 525 there by Glick, a man named Glick, and then 550. So what we're seeing, so it, of the 17, the Winslow house at 515 Auvergne and 505 Auvergne are not in the Braun re-subdivision of the Auvergne subdivision. And that leaves the, what have we got, 15. So that's, yeah, so it's those two that from the 17, that's 15. The 500 Auvergne was by a company named Design Associates in Melrose Park. And that oddly wasn't developed until about 1976. And then the other house in the Braun development was by a man named Frank Louis Glick. And apparently he's pretty well known. He's pretty important. So the reason I had to draw this out is because if you go over to, well, if you look at the, just for instance, 500 Auvergne, 512, you go around the horn, you got 531, 515. And you can see that 12, lot 12 was never developed. It got grabbed by the other house to build other houses. If you look at, if you go way to the left and you have lot 19, 504 River Oaks is all of lot 19 and part of lot 18. And then you go to next door to 514 River Oaks, you've got the other part of lot 18. all of lot 17 and half of 16. So that's, as you can see, that's why I had to just draw this out. But so now we specifically know, though, the houses that Braun designed. So it's everything but 500 O'Vern, 525, the Glick house. Yeah. The others were Braun's. And then we have the other two, the Winslow house and the 505 O'Vern. So now we know absolutely what Braun designed.
Excuse me, Jan, 505 originally part of the same lot with 515, the Winslow house?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
We didn't dig that deeply.
Okay.
It's quite possible. Yeah. It might have been the ranch style. It also was. In the 1950.
Yep.
Possible.
Regrettably. Yeah.
We don't usually show this to Jews, but you're the right kind of Jew. My husband, my father is on that.
Regrettably, I agree with Carl, but so the question is,
well, it says newest restricted development. Where the heck else were we restricting? Unless that was just a promotional, but newest.
Was it restricted by design? Yeah. I would agree, Carla, that reprehensibly restrictive covenants were aimed at people who were of color and Jewish. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, to be perfectly honest, it also may have been that the developer was going to approve the design of the homes. That I don't know. It, again, because it says restricted. I don't know. You know, I think it bears some further examination of some of the deeds. Because if in fact there's a restrictive covenant that attempted to prevent people who are Black and Jewish from purchasing and living in these homes or renting these homes, then under those circumstances, I think it casts things in a different light. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I can bring that up to 49 to right.
Well, I think what you would have seen is you would have seen a restrictive covenant expressly set forth in the deed. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like we need to determine like a, what they would call a legislative history, looking at a law, trying to determine, well, what were people thinking at the time? You can look at it because this stuff was out there and it was blunt.
Really big thing in the early 1960s.
Yeah.
That was restricted. I mean, that was the whole like restricted.
Yep.
And there were a lot. I just read about this recently in Cook County.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So as to I mean that's worth further investigation. As far as our thoughts on recognizing the area for what it is, its architectural importance, that it was a developed
can't recognize what architecture is developed something that had different covenants in 1950s. No up and down
I look at it and I want to find out specifically what was in the deeds and then make a determination. But I know what you're saying.
It's and so
yeah.
Well, and so it's what you're saying is this probably we don't know.
We don't know.
But it's not something that it might let's and then go from there and see if this is something that we, as a commission, should be promoting. Let somebody else do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. I think it's something that we need to know in order to make an informed decision.
Yeah. Where do we draw the line?
Say, you know, we understand that this was the directness of architecture only, however.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got.
Although by state statute, they are unenforceable in every jurisdiction. Yes. Yeah. No, you can still, you can go back and do a chain of title. You can see stuff in your.
Well, we've got them.
All right.
So just another avenue I thought, do you think it would be interesting to research the agent listed? Would that offer any clues? The caller, right, the exclusive agent to this area, would that be another way to figure out? I mean, I have no understanding of this. I just learned something entirely new, but I wonder if there were agents that like exclusively sold houses in that.
It'd be an deed. Yeah.
Now, who's got the actual deed?
They're recorded. They're of record. Yep. Yep. County recorder.
But it's not the
county. What you have is probably it looks like a page. Can I see that?
Sure.
It looks like a page listing the various documents.
It's the chain.
It's
chain of title.
Right. But what you can do is you can look up the various individual documents to determine what was in fact included. You have to look at individual deeds.
You sure can't tell by the names. And then there's
no.
Marquardt and
no.
Frank. And
it's a specific deed instruction. It says something like that by acceptance of this deed, the grantee hereby acknowledges that the property cannot be sold or rented to or by. And then. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very, very common.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, that's. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then
depends.
Our museum has evidence that the realtors got around that by leaving that line open, and then the owner, the seller, could have the option to fill in who they wanted to sell to. But by then it was blacks. So I don't think it was the Jewish anymore.
Okay. Yep. There were some people who courageously ignored that and basically said, go sue me, because they wish to make a point about open housing. But in fact.
Well, yeah. So, okay, I will take this back.
Okay.
How fortuitous, I guess, is the word that this was at our museum. I do recall there was another ad for a gated community. I thought, what the heck are you talking about? And I guess they were talking about the wall or gates. Gated? Yeah. But no, this is more serious. The gated thing is kind of a silly promotional, but no, this is something definitely that has to be further investigated. Fine. I'm on it.
Thank you.
So that was all I had, but at least now we know about that we've got the backup specifically for who designed.
Okay. Any other business? Any other thoughts, comments, questions? Is there a motion to adjourn?
I think Scott's going for it.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Is there a second?
I second.
Chairman Franek.
Aye.
Commissioner Sager.
Aye.
Commissioner Graham White. Commissioner Krasinski.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 8:12.